We have to.
Okay, roll call for the regular meeting of the length of the Resource Recovery Agency.
Yeah.
Fred Wadnola.
Here.
Kevin Beinkoffer.
Here.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Lisa Mitten.
Here.
Joanne Myers.
Here.
Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Angelina Theoni.
Here.
Linda France.
Here.
Brenda Whitaker.
She's in the building. Here, but she's not there. Yeah, she was managing the.
We've already said the Pledge of Allegiance, so we can go right to public comment.
Okay, any public comment? Yes, sir.
Hi, Mike Baden, Supervisor, Town of Rochester. I'm here to let you know that I, after we had our issues last month, I reached out to the DEC. And did get clarification from Wendy Rosenbach from the DEC. And I just wanted to inform you that she tells me that registration of vehicles is unrelated to the vehicle's license plate regarding commercial versus residential. And then she states that this does not mean that a resident with a commercial plate cannot dump household garbage, only that they are not supposed to dump any waste generated by their business. If a resident is bringing in waste from their own home renovation job, it will be considered residential waste and could be disposed of at the transfer station. So I know that Mr. Wadnola and my attorney, and we all met last spring, and we attempted to get that answer, and we never received it. I wanted to share it with you. So we have received clarification. I understand the RA's position. And we are working to resolve the concerns. We have made significant changes, and we continue to make changes at our transfer station. I would like to say that taking the cardboard compactor has caused a real big problem for both us and you, in that we now probably require 2 cardboard pickups a week. And on a Saturday, our cardboard dumpster is already filled before the end of the day. So I would ask if you would reconsider reinstalling the compactors. And I do understand, though, that your reasoning for why you remote them. So
okay, all right. All right, Michael, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll discuss it, and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
All right?
I appreciate it.
So we can find a solution.
That email?
I will. I'll be happy to.
So that we have it for our records?
I just actually received it secondhand through one of our local reporters who reached out to them and got the answer. So, but she forwarded.
They can get the answer and we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Amazing.
We asked what in February or March. So anyway, I will forward that to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good. He's going to follow through with that counsel.
Yes. I think we kind of knew that already.
Yeah.
The amount of that comes in.
Okay. All righty. Any other public comment? All right, moving on. Chairman's comments. Our concrete, we're almost finished at the composting. Charlie, the schedule, what, another month?
Well, you know, we're fighting against the cold, so we're going to try to do that. So we have 170 foot by 150 foot we have done, 130 by 160 we did the blacktop, and 60 by 60, which is blacktop, it's the existing zone, we're not doing anything with that this year, there's no sense of ripping that up. And if we want to, over on the back end, it's another 140 foot by another 140 foot, we haven't started that yet. So I'd like to get that done. We're about 85% done with the half of the educational center. We did 18 feet by 18 feet. We still have to do another 18 feet by 18 feet. We still have to do the sidewalks. We had to pull ourselves away from that to do this other work at the scale now that we're putting in because we didn't want to do any change orders to a contractor, prevailing wage, and all that stuff. So our grounds and maintenance guys are doing that. So we had to pull ourselves away. So, I'd like to say we're going to get it done this year, Fred. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to that whole 140 foot by 140 foot because I also have to do some controls on stormwater and leachate runoff, so I have to get that in place, and I also have to do a flow chart for a for the modification for the compost site, and that's permit related. So so we got a busy couple of months, you know what I mean? So we'll see.
Do you think we'll get all the concrete in for the educational building?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, good.
So I think we'll do that other 140. I don't think we're going to get to that. My grounds and maintenance guys, he's optimistic, but, you know, he's over-optimistic sometimes.
Okay. So, that's good.
But listen, you know, I've taken every single person I have. We only have 22 guys, you know what I mean? And we've been really, really focused. I need at least 5 guys doing this. This is a lot of concrete work.
Right.
When you look at this, Charlie knows Charlie was a concrete guy. 170 by 150, 130 by 60. The 60 foot by 60 foot is the existing, and then, you know, another 140 by 140, and the 36 by 36 plus all the sidewalks to go around it, and now all this scale work that we're doing. So, you know, we're stretched. We're not complaining, we're happy, we're saving a lot of money, and it's being done right, and we're doing it the way we want, according to our specifications. So, we're happy, but we're thin.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of doing everything in-house as much as we can, and that's why we did this project, and we've saved a couple $100,000 by doing this ourselves in-house. So we're also looking to double our permit for our composting operation, and we're Did we make the application, or we're going to make the application, Charlie?
What's that?
For the tank for our composting to go up to 10,000 tons.
That's a modification, and that's what the flow chart is. That's what the controls on the stormwater is, and that's what the leak check controls are in place. That's going to be the modification. So that's what we're hoping for.
Okay.
So and that's because of the food waste bills that are going in. Ulster County has one in 2021, and the state has one in 2022. So we always want to be ahead of the curve. And I say, listen, if there's a lot of these places that pop up and they want to do composting, right? We call ours a rolling compost site, right? So you add pipes or take pipes away. That's what we are. So I would love to see other places doing it. But if they're not, we're here to make sure that we can handle all the food waste in Ulster County. We're hoping to get more food waste. Inside of this place. I know Angie and Melinda and Tim, myself, have been talking about where our food waste comes from. And we don't get a lot from Ulster County. So we're hoping that this law will change that.
And we're the only permitted operation in what, like a 5-county area?
More than that. Sullivan, so when you look at Sullivan, when you look at Greene County, when you look at Dutchess County, when you look at Columbia County, when you look at Putnam County, when you look at Westchester County, Rockland County's got the biosolids with sludge and stuff, but it's not the same as us, so I don't count that. So when you look at all these counties, Orange County, I can't think of a place, I don't know of another permitted place unless you get up toward Connecticut, that waste management one that they own.
So now we know why DEC brings these foreign visitors to come here to the RRA when we had the busload of people from China last year.
And we did sell about 2,300 tons of compost this year. We're virtually out. We have a little bit stashed back there for the people who don't call and just show up so they don't get mad and leave empty. So, but we're not selling, we're not getting rid of anything. And we got rid of 2 tracking trailers, and we said that's enough. These people are coming in. We got to save some for the small pickup trucks. So that's what we're doing.
Okay, good.
What was it that Shabazz wanted to do with you as far as his composting operation was concerned?
Well, I'm going to have to go to Angie about that. So, Angie, I don't really get too far involved with competitors, though. I had CRP up here, Anthony, and he took a look at our site. He had a bunch of questions. And Angie, I invited Angie, but she had a webinar that day, and Tim was going to go, but he was really busy. So I did, so Anthony and I got together, and he had some questions, and I answered them. But as far as, those folks, those local folks, I kind of stay out of that. I'm really too busy, Charlie, to be honest with you. I don't know whether I'm coming or going half the
time. Angie, is it something that is worth doing, or is it something we should just forget about it? Shabazz.
Can you please repeat the question? Can you please repeat the question? I didn't hear the question.
My question was, at one point in time, it's my understanding that Shabazz, who has a composting operation going on in New Falls, wanted to do something with us, and that he came here, and while he was here, he was sampling the heat in our compost. Do you know anything about that?
Don't believe I was here for that.
No, Angie wasn't here for that. I just want to say this, Charlie. If this answers the question real quick, and Angie, jump in here anytime you want. I just want to say this, right? Shabazz doesn't have a permitted site. Fred just mentioned who we are. So I don't know what can be offered to us that we're not already successful at.
I thought we had a, talking to council, that we couldn't do something like that. You can't have a private enterprise coming in here.
My question was, what was it that he wanted to do with us? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know.
You're talking about his composting technique,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, Ange knows a little bit about that. Don't you, Ange, you know about it, what he wants to do, that additive, you know, how to increase the bugs?
There are certain inoculants that you can use in the composting process, which are biological additives. We certainly have never used any inoculants in our composting process. In my personal opinion, I find that to be a little unnecessary because the science of composting works without inoculants. And when you have the right mix of carbon and nitrogen and other inputs and a good material mix, composting happens without the need to add other types of fungi or bacteria or other types of organisms. So. If that's the question,
yeah, basically,
we're permitted to do a specific process with the compost that doesn't include that, so that would be my concern.
Okay. Thank you.
But his material could never reach the testing limits that we get with our composting, right? I mean, when you test our composting is tested on a regular basis. I don't believe that his operation could even come close to the standards that we have here at the RRA for our material. Okay. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, are you required to keep records about the temperature of your compost? I certainly haven't seen those records to speak to that. But I know you're required to meet certain thresholds for your site.
I don't think they're SDA certified either, right?
Not to my knowledge.
No. So I don't think they're
SDA
certified either.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You answered the question.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to whisper something. I got a load of stuff from him. It was pure disaster. It had stones in it. It was very rigid. If it got wet, it was like I had concrete. I built a special new box for my asparagus garden. I have to take out the stuff I put on top that came from him because I don't want to put the asparagus in there. I'm going to have to put clay sand and some mulch and stuff like that in it, but it was just not acceptable.
But I want to share, I actually have to leave around 1:30, and I'm wondering, did there's some important resolutions?
Yeah, we're going to get
okay.
there.
Okay, yep.
Anyway. Okay, moving on, approval minutes, you have the minutes from August 24th, August 31st, and September the 10th. I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Well, I found a bunch of things on the 24th.
Motion to accept the minutes as read.
Which one?
The August 24th.
Yeah.
I could just give my document to somebody and they could make the changes. I mean, basically typos or missing words.
Okay.
But that it's nothing like it doesn't change the meaning a lot. Oh, there was one place where I didn't understand. Bottom of page 3. As long as they are not wet or contain mold or mildew. I didn't quite get. I guess we could take all these things as long as they're that way. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think everything else is just as simple. Oh, and when we put the word grass on here, there is a one that where it's open. So in other words, you get the outline of the word, the letter D. But this, I found it was really hard to read.
Yours is a lot darker than mine.
Yeah.
And even,
well, I actually printed it out.
So you want to delete the draft of overprint? Is it?
Well, it's fine, but there's another one in Word. That it's open. It's like when it makes D.
Oh, okay.
It's open.
I see, okay. So
it's not so
right.
You could see the D, but you wouldn't
okay.
cover up the words.
All right, I'll check with the secretary.
It'll be a little easier to work
with. Okay.
So I will make the motion to accept them all the minutes as corrected.
And I'll give this to whoever goes.
I'll second it.
Gotcha, okay. All right.
Okay.
Call for a vote on the minutes.
Fred Guadagnola?
Yes.
Catherine Beinkoffner?
Yes.
Charles Landy?
Yes.
Lisa Mitten? Joanne Myers?
Yes.
Okay. Our next regular board meeting is scheduled for Monday, October 26th at 12, right here. Okay, let's move on to resolutions. First one, resolution 2517, authorizing and approving the award of a contract for municipal sewage sludge disposal services. Executive Director?
Yeah, so we went out to bid back in, I think it was August, and we received bids on September 2nd for disposal. As you could see, and I sent out an email as well with all the bid details, but Denali Water Solutions came in the lowest. Our bids ranged actually across the 5 years and across the four submittals. From $85 a ton up to as high as $124.45 a ton. We currently only pay $37 a ton, so it's quite a substantial increase that we're seeing in the market with regards to sludge. But another additive to this is non-monetary. Denali Water Solutions runs the Rockland County Compost Facility, so we would be basically diverting 3,600 tons, or about 2.5% of our waste stream out of a landfill by going here. So that would be my recommendation, and they're certainly a lot closer than where we have gone in the past, like Buffalo, Chemung County. So I think this is a good deal.
I'm sorry, I don't know this, but I'm still learning. Which sludge, or where is the sludge from?
We have, Charlie, what do we have? 13?
I think it's 13, Tim.
Facilities that then they turn it into dry it out, correct?
Yeah, they got they got three systems, right? They got drying beds, they got plate and frame, and I forget what the other system is. So basically, it's got to be 20% solid for it to come to us and go to a landfill. I think for transportation reasons, it still has to be 20% in order to transport it over the road according to the special conditions of the transporter permit. So, yeah, about 20% solid. So,
these from
Rockland said the same thing for their facility.
Are these local wastewater treatment plants?
Yes.
All across Ulster County.
Yeah, so it's all Ulster County.
A separate stream that goes to us.
Yeah, so like Rosendale, Fort Yoon, Glasgow, town of Ulster, Warsing. They're all local places.
And so is that material transported here centrally?
So it goes to New Paltz, it's dumped into a hopper, and it goes into a dump trailer, and currently it goes to the Chemung landfill. Now it will be, those same dump trailers will be going down to Rockland County, about 51 miles away, Tim?
Yeah, 51 miles. Yep.
So we used to go 187 miles, right? We talked about carbon footprint, so we're going to be going 51 miles now.
And also it's a diversion, taking it out of the waste stream. Instead of going to a landfill, it's going down there and be treated at there. And then they use it, they dry it, and they use it for cover.
Soil amendment and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's really, this is all diversion right now. Mm-hmm. So it's a good deal. Any other questions?
Even though this company's in Arkansas, they have people up there.
Yeah, they're headquartered out of Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Yep, but they operate Rockland Compost Facility in Rockland County.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Okay, I would so move this resolution.
Second.
All right. Yes. Motion made and second. Any discussion? Call for a roll call vote.
Fred Wagnola.
Aye.
Catherine Bunn-Koffner.
Aye.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
Aye.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Okay.
I did that out of memory without reading it.
Okay, next resolution is resolution 2518, authorizing and approving award of contract for municipal sewage sludge transportation services. Executive Director.
Sure thing. So this is the other piece of the puzzle for us, is transportation of the sludge that we just approved for disposal at the Rockland County Compost Facility. When we sent out these bids, we allowed anyone that was going to submit a bid to submit it to either of the four places for disposal. We only got two submittals, one from Denali, who is the disposal entity, and Gadadu, who currently hauls our MSW out of New Paltz. Denali came in much, much cheaper with the cheaper disposal option as well. So it was pretty clear cut that that I would recommend they will also handle the transport portion of this. Altogether, we saw an increase of $19 a ton over our budgeted cost, and that takes into account the increase in disposal, the decrease in transport, and a decrease in fuel. But like I said before, there's non-monetary positives to this, and that is the diversion out of the landfill as well. Mm-hmm. It'll equate to an increase of about $68,000 on our budget, which I'll send something out on that with regards to possibly modifying the final budget. But it certainly could have been a lot worse. I'm more concentrating on the fact that we're bringing our home out of the landfill.
All right. Any questions? We're also looking at perhaps buying two trailers. We can't use our steel trailers for that, so we're looking to buy maybe two aluminum trailers and do the actual transportation ourselves, because I think it will be a cost savings.
Now, Fred, we were considering that.
Yeah.
Okay. And the buyback on that I calculated across the five-year contract was going to be anything that came under $13.30 a ton, it was going to benefit us to just go with whoever.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it, because that was, because 160,000 trailers, I think it was.
Yeah, 80,000 a piece.
Yeah. So when you work that all out, if they had come in at say $20 a ton, then I would have recommended it myself. But this ended up coming in even below the break-even point, so. The buyback would have taken too long.
Oh, okay. You didn't tell me that, executive director.
Well, I did not.
That's actually
that's why we
good thing
meetings.
That we
got.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I have a question.
Okay.
These two resolutions can take care of the cost of transportation and the cost of disposal.
Yes.
What do we receive for sludge a ton?
The same as our MSW. It's 105 across the board.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So it's the same as MSW.
Right.
Yep.
$105 a ton.
Yep.
Oh.
Except we're saving it. We're not putting it in the waste stream.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, we're diverting it. So
I just wanted to know.
It's a big plus.
On the income end, right. We were talking about the disposal end.
About $10 this $10 leeway. Right. We're pulling it in at 105. And it costs us 85 and 10 this year, or
21? 85 and 10, so it'll be
95. 95, yeah. Sorry, I don't have my shoes.
You're right.
So. Sludge has never been a money maker, and when you consider the volume.
No, we just want to make sure we're breaking even, at least.
Yeah. And when you consider the volume of sludge that we do versus the volume of trash, there was never no money in it.
Yeah. And I think, again, this is a good diversion, so thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're not traveling
187
miles.
So our footprint is also
right.
That's good.
When does this
and it's
begin?
Easier transportation. We're going right down the thruway, and the facility is right off the thruway.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Make the motion, Charlie.
Are the dates wrong?
Do you want me to make the motion?
Make the motion.
I'll move it.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Yeah, you do it.
Okay.
Okay.
To accept resolution 2518.
Okay, it's moved by Joanne.
Seconded
by Charlie. I'll call for roll call vote.
You want to do them
Fred
together?
Wendell.
What are you doing both together?
No, we can't.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Fred Wendell, aye. Catherine Beinkopf.
Aye.
Charles Landy.
Aye.
Lisa Mitten.
Aye.
Joanne Meyer.
Aye.
That's 5-0.
Good. Okay. Okay, old business.
No, aren't you going to do 2518? You just did 2517.
No, we did both.
Oh, you did them both.
We did them both.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, old business, the scale project update.
So the scale, the inbound scale is, I would say, 98% done. Some minor blacktop still has to be done, but we have to get the outbound scale done to complete all the blacktop. The binder is put down for the inbound scale. We are 100% complete on the MERV scale. And on the outbound scale, we are about 35% complete. So I would expect the scale by Thursday. I expect the scale guys to start putting the new scale in by Thursday.
I think, Tim, did they say Monday was today was supposed to come in, or was it Thursday?
The only thing, last I remember is last week they told us it would come in this week. Okay. So I didn't get specific.
So I think by Thursday they're going to start putting the new scale in, and then the contractor will finish up the blacktop work.
Okay.
We did all the steps in-house. I want to point that out. Each one of the steps, we got prices for... I think they were $22,000 a piece, and we did all the steps and working with contractors and fabricators in house, and we got all three steps for $15,000. So,
they're nice,
and they're nice.
And they're all steel. They're all it's beautiful.
Galvanized
steel. Yeah.
So
instead of $66,000, we did it for $15,000.
That's correct.
Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, new business, executive director, town agreements.
I just wanted to give everybody an update since all of our town agreements end at the end of this year. So since our last meeting, Charlie and I have actually gone over and drafted the agreements. We sent them to Mr. Gilligan to take a look at. He made a couple minor changes. And we've drafted 10 of them so far. Charlie and I picked out 5 towns that we work really well with, that we knew was going to be really easy to deal with, and we had emailed out those contracts for review. We're looking at, I know two of the towns, Marbletown and Clatakill, I believe are planning on having it on their agenda for their meeting this week to hopefully return to us. So my plan is whatever I do get back, to have on the agenda for our board meeting for the 26th of October. So that falls for all of them. That's really what I wanted to convey.
And we did call the supervisors prior to.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have all the towns by the October meeting?
No, we they might have all of them. 5.
5? We're gonna have 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Set to
5. 5. Okay. Do we have any towns that have indicated that they're not going to use our services next year?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
The only direct communication was with the 5 that we sent out the draft contracts to. So.
I mean, we're so cheap, I don't think they could get a better deal any other place. But
true.
Who knows? Okay. Recycling, education, compost, bagging building. Where are we there?
Okay, so on the bagging building, I mentioned earlier to you folks that we did the 36 by 36 slab. We got the 18 by 18 done. Tomorrow we'll start on the other 18 foot by 18 foot, and then we'll start on the sidewalks after that. We're still going to keep going, motoring on at the compost site. So we're trying to speed things through as fast as possible because of the weather. So that's where we are. So the building, we're looking at anywhere from 10 days to a month that the building will be here on site and assembled.
But it's been ordered.
What's that?
We ordered it.
Yeah, it's ordered. Okay, good.
The building's ordered. Yep. We did our due diligence, right, Tim, with the 3 quotes.
Yeah.
And we sent it to the engineers and that are overseeing the job. And we did send out letters to the DEC notifying. So that's where we are. So we're moving ahead. We'll have the building up way before it gets cold.
What colors the building?
Blue.
For you.
Bright blue.
Bright blue.
They're going to have all kinds of recycling motifs on it, so it's going to look really cool.
Actually, I did that to aggravate you, Fred. It's going to be the same color as the BMF. it's going to be
color
brown,
Lisa's sweater.
Brown, something like that, just like the BMF.
Yeah.
I mean, just like a BMF.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Over to what our recycling ladies are going to decorate it, so it's going to be, a really outstanding educational
complex. No graffiti.
Not graffiti. Education.
No, let's put good stuff on. Yeah.
Well, we got a nice sign from the governor's office that we can put on it. That's sitting right over here. They want us in regards to compost and stuff. So once we get the door open, put that sign on.
I would like to ask the executive director in training, did you send the town of Rochester one?
No, sir.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Should I go and lobby my town? Or do you think we're fine?
Okay.
Joe's good to go.
Okay, so the building will be here before the snow.
I'm afraid to go.
Absolutely, 100%. The building's going to be here before they actually, they committed 6 weeks.
Kill somebody.
We had them to them by the 30th, and now they're telling us that, next week it might even be in.
Now, how are you going to heat it? With a gas heater?
So we're going to have some hanging propane heaters inside the building.
Oh, okay.
And we're also going to go with the solar panels on top for power. So.
Oh.
Would it be possible to consider a split system for electric power heating?
We are doing that.
Okay.
Yep, we already planned on doing that. Yep.
Okay.
So that's all taken care of.
Kelly, I have a question about the concrete.
Thanks for asking, Elvis.
A machine is going to be on this concrete, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm worried about the load of the concrete and the number of days that it should cure before you load it.
That's why I can't take the building next week when they want to bring it. They could have the building next. We're gonna go at least 14 days.
And that's 4,000 pound concrete.
We'll be up around 3,500 on the 14 days.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on, general reports, recycling outreach team.
So for the month of September, our recycling education program has been focused on our partners in composting program, which is how we involve new participants to bring their food scraps to our facility. So I thought this would be a nice opportunity to share with the board a little bit more information about that program. Our slogan and our vision for partners in composting is to grow Ulster Green. And as you know, we accept source-separated organics or food scraps from commercial partners, and then we recycle those organics into a high-quality, sustainable compost. The program's open to haulers, commercial businesses, schools, restaurants or cafes, grocery stores, hotels, office buildings, farmers markets, municipalities, nonprofit organizations, community events and festivals, and other large waste generators. We accept all food scraps, including pre- or post-consumer, meat, fish, bones, dairy products, fruit and vegetable trimmings, bulk produce, bakery overages, coffee grounds, tea filters, nutshells, cooked or uncooked foods, plate scrapings, and certified compostable packaging. We do not accept things like packaged foods, brewery waste, animal manures, bulk liquids, greases, waste vegetable oils, or other food service contaminants like hairnets and condiments and rubber bands and things like that. Onboarding our new partners is a three-step process. So the first step to work with us, they would contact us with their interest. We provide a guidebook and ask them to complete a survey to gather information about their facility, operations, and then their participants, which is really important for us to get to know them. And then we also invite them and their core team to our facility for a guided tour so that they can also get to know us. And we spend some time with them providing consultation services on the benefits of launching a program, and if necessary, we will even provide them with a free site visit to see how they would physically set up a food scrap collection program. The second step, which is the most important step, is that we ask them to develop a strategy on how they're going to train their new participants in that program to both identify where bins are going to be placed, how they're going to be labeled, how their participants are going to be trained on acceptable or unacceptable items, and also just to share some tips with us of how they envision how often they'll be coming, how much food scraps they'll generate, and things like that. This type of planning, we feel, leads to really successful programs, so this is something that we certainly can help them with, so they can launch the program with enthusiasm and without contamination. And then the third step, upon approving all their collection program details, we'll use that info from their survey to set up a composting account, which helps us track their diversion. And at this step, then we provide some other free resources if those partners are in Ulster County, things like posters and window decals, collection bin labels, and a media sample that she's going to pass around for you to see some of that.
This is our guidebook. This is a pamphlet that we hand out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our poster and some stickers if you guys want to look to see what we do provide.
Oh, no, I'm going to take them all home.
For a small deposit fee, we can also provide 35-gallon food scrap collection carts for our partners if they're located within Ulster County. And that's with the support of a grant from the County of Ulster. And that deposit for their collection bins is totally refundable should they ever decide to discontinue or change their service or to purchase their own bins. While no appointment's necessary for them to start delivering their food scraps, we do like to greet them at their first delivery to help with answering any logistical questions and to give them feedback about the quality of their load. Once per year, then, we provide stats and fact sheets about their composting program so that they can track their diversion and all the environmental benefits they could share with their employees or their students or their customers. We have 37 composting accounts on file, and this year we have 12 accounts that have been very active with us. And I also have some testimonials. I'd like to share the opportunity to share those with you. So Melinda's going to pass some of those out. And I will quickly read through a couple here. Testimonial from Bread Alone Bakery. Bread Alone's worked with Okra for almost 5 years. It's an initiative that's embraced by all company associates. Bakery orders is transported to Okra weekly to become part of their quality compost production. We are very fortunate to have UCRRA. The team there are passionate about their mission. I'd encourage a tour of their operation as you'll learn an incredible amount of info that will foster your own sustainability initiatives above and beyond. Another quote here from the owners of Java Compost. We have loved working with Okra to process the organic material we collect with our curbside program. They've made it so easy to access their facility in an efficient and easy way. We love their commitment to recycling. It's so important to keep food waste out of landfills and incinerators in order to decrease methane production and build healthy soils. UCRA gets all of this, and they are a pleasure to work with. And the last little quote here I will read is a testimonial from the Village of Scarsdale and their Conservation Advisory Council. The Village of Scarsdale has been sending food scraps to Okra since 2017. Okra's support has been instrumental in ensuring the village is able to launch a successful composting program. Many compost facilities mandate acceptable products based on what's best for the compost site without regard to collection. However, Okra has created a process to help the generators and collectors succeed with their acceptance of compostable products. This is especially important for schools, houses of worship, and organizations with zero waste goals. Okra has continued to be forward-thinking with their expansion of compost operations to handle additional material as more municipalities launch food scrap composting programs. Okra has not only set a low tip fee, but lowered it when their operations supported a reduced fee. And this low tip fee supports composting programs and is leading the way in food scrap recycling. It's been a pleasure working with Okra. They were one of the first large-scale composting facilities in the area, setting a model for others. Their operations are set up to support composting programs. They accept the items needed for these programs to be successful, set a low tip fee that promotes composting as a financial saving, and are consistent in expanding the facility to bring food scraps to. So really wonderful testimonials. Those are all on our website for new partners in composting. And so far, year to date this year, we have had 3,753 tons of organics that have come in. As Carly alluded to earlier in the meeting today, based off of the data that we track at the scale, we estimate about 31% of our organics comes from partners within Ulster County. And we are certainly looking at how we can continue to expand local participation in the program. The Ulster County Food Waste Prevention and Recovery Act goes into effect January 1st, 2021. There are 94 designated large food scrap generators that will be impacted by the Ulster County law, possibly more as the Department of Environment continues to refine their methodology. At phase four, at full implementation, they've calculated 9,500 tons of organics as the Ulster County footprint there. And the New York State food waste food scrap recycling law goes into effect January 1st, 2022. That affects large food scrap generators located within 25 miles of an organics recycler. There are 34 identified as defined by the New York State law that are not including Ulster County. In addition, there are 34. That would produce a minimum of 68 tons per week. So that's 3,536 tons per year out of those 34 generators. So we're always looking to expand participation and look for opportunities to engage with our partners there. So this month we've highlighted this program on all of our social media pages. We ran ads in the Daily Freeman newspaper, a three-month campaign in the Chamber newsletter, and a direct mailing to select food scrap establishments, which resulted in two upcoming tours and free consultations we'll be doing later this month. We had planned an open house for our partners in composting in May, which was later rescheduled due to COVID-19, but we'll continue to offer those types of stakeholder engagement sessions as we kind of inch closer to the implementation of these laws, and work closely with the Department of Environment to see how we can
one question. Why not accepting stuff from breweries and distilleries?
Brewery waste grain has an extremely high moisture content. And so that would require more bulking agent to incorporate into the process. And we already mix 3-to-1 or sometimes 4-to-1. And being as your wood chips are like your gold, right? You don't want to, you always want to have a sufficient pile. You know, we choose not to take brewery waste because then it would eliminate that pile much more quickly. Because you would need to bulk in like 5 to 6 parts wood waste for every 1 part of brewery grain. And then additionally, a lot of the local breweries already have a diversion program where they provide it to.
I know that some of them do, so that's why I was asking what, where that was going. Okay. Mm-hmm.
My son works at a farm brewery up in Utica, and they take all the whey, I guess they call it, from after they make the beer. They feed it to the cows up there, and then in turn.
That's really good.
They don't waste anything. They utilize everything. What I would suggest, just in my own mind, if we could get the boards of education to buy into this program, maybe we could be a little bit more successful in the schools, and I'm thinking specifically of Kingston. I think you should, if you haven't already, contact just the 9 board members and sell them on this program, because I think this is a phenomenal program to get them to...
Informational meeting back in May, I think it was, for...
To the board, to the 9 board members, not the principals, because the principals are going to tell you it's too much work.
We sent it to all the superintendents of the schools, all the principals, and some environmental teachers. And the group that did come, we had about 7 or 8 teachers that participated in our class. And we did tell them about the upcoming laws, and we did tell them that we were available to help them with the program. So we, like she said, we're still planning on doing another class. We know schools are really kind of scrambling for...
Well, I know right now it's a bad time, but I'm just saying,
So we do plan on doing another class.
And elementary schools will be, are identified as large food scraps generators, mm-hmm. as defined by the law in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. They're exempt from the New York State law, but Ulster County schools will become required to compost if they generate over 0.5 ton a week, which I'm sure many of them certainly do.
Because there's a lot of food they throw away every day.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. And our new business waste reduction recycling guide will have a whole chapter on composting. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to share that with the board that chapter will provide information to schools and businesses about composting and what all of the composting options are in Ulster County. Whereas our guidebook is geared towards using our service, we do provide information about hauling companies and local drop-off spots and things like that as well.
So we might have that available by next board meeting. We're doing the final touches on our business card. So maybe by the next board meeting we might have a final copy to review that information. I just wanted to add a couple more things to our update. Back in May we had 2 classes, the Intro to Home Composting and Advanced Composting. And we've had about 20 participants, but we provide them with a free gift at the end of the class. And due to COVID, they weren't allowed to come here for our class, so we do it through WebEx. So we just contacted them this month since we were doing all our composting, and we had 18 people out of the 20 come get their free company patty. Angie also talked about the tote that we offer for a deposit. If you want to see what that tote looks like, we have one in our kitchen because we are collecting food waste here. Food scraps here in our kitchen. We had 2 classes this month. September 25th was our Using Compost in the Garden. We had 16 participants. And then on September 30th, we had Cold Weather Composting, and that class had 19 participants. Each class ended with an exit survey, and we had nothing but positive feedback on that. And most people who signed up for our classes received the information through our newsletter. So we know that's where we're getting a lot of our followers are through our newsletter. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to make a note. So the food waste bills that are coming out, the law in Ulster County and the law for New York State, right? So just imagine if we didn't exist, right? Because if there's not a facility within 25 miles, you don't have to worry about it. So just imagine if we weren't here. And the 3 other small places that are around here, they can't handle it. They can't handle most of the time what they got. So that's how important we are. And that's why this compost and this concrete work that we're doing in the area that we're building is so important. And that's why we want to be ahead of the curve on that. So I just want to point that out.
Right.
You can have the laws, right? But if you can't do it, then what's good is the law?
That's right. You got to have the facility. Okay, Executive Director, Fundage Report, MSW.
Can I ask, can you tell about the Executive Director position?
I'm sorry.
Can we talk about the Executive Director position? I'm leaving in
you want to talk about
minutes.
It?
I'm just wondering what the board thinks about how they've reflected upon
Okay. Your
job description from last month, and if there's any further comments before I leave.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I think we need to have a special meeting on that.
Okay.
And have everybody involved.
Okay.
So if you send that to us, and then
the description.
Yeah.
I'll email it out to you.
So. Okay, maybe when everybody's. Should we talk about that as a group?
Okay. Yeah, to have a governance meeting to talk about, or a special meeting of the board to talk about this with.
Yeah.
Andrew, Charlie, and
Ann. Does the board want to have a special meeting to talk about the executive director's position?
I thought we were going to go to January before we did anything.
Yeah, but we still need to be talking about it so we know what happened. Yeah. January's going to come really quickly.
We're
already in October.
Okay. Let me take the description that I generated,
yeah.
And I'll send it out to everybody, and
maybe
let's plan for the our next meeting's the 26th of this month. Mm-hmm.
Can we come an hour earlier and have a?
Yeah, let's instead of having a special meeting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we could stay a little later that day, or come in earlier that day. What's the pleasure of the board? Monday the 26th.
That would make it easier.
Because Monday's okay for you,
yeah,
right?
Monday's okay right now.
Okay, how about you, Lisa?
Put it on as new business.
Yeah, but we want to make sure that we have enough time that.
We could come earlier.
Actually, I cannot come earlier, stay later.
Okay. Okay.
How
about if we stay later? Is that okay? Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's plan on that.
Okay, like a 1 to 3, noon to 3?
You know, after our regular meeting.
Okay, and also, just at our next meeting, I might be a half an hour late.
Okay. All right. Let's plan on that, stay later on the 26th. Okay.
So are you guys having a completely separate meeting from the regular meeting, or are you going to do it inclusive?
But I think it should be we should end this meeting and then have it just us and not public.
So you want to have a special meeting? We have to advertise that we're going to have a special meeting, so.
No.
Executive session?
If you want to have it, you have to go into
executive session. Okay, well, I think it needs to be an executive session as we're discussing all of this.
Okay.
That's what okay.
Okay, we'll have going to executive session.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I just want, I want everybody's input.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's do that. We'll have an executive session after the meeting of the 26th.
Okay. Thank
you. Okay, Executive Director.
You.
All right, Tony's reports.
Report. The month of August, we did 12,768 tons, which was 506 tons over our target of tons, and sludge we did 307, which was 4 more than our target. Our year to date, we are over budget by 4,110 tons, which is approximately 4.8% over budget, and our sludge is pretty much dead on. And also back on the MSW side, we're almost, I think I had a, we're within a half a percent of the prior year actual through August as well. So we're pretty close to that.
So we've been over our MSW
It kind of makes sense because when I do my budget, I tend to do about a 3 to 4 year average, you know, because in the past 2 or 3 years, we've really seen an uptick in volume. Attributed probably a little more to C&D. There have been some special projects around here, but so each year, if you were to look at our budgeted tons over the past 4 years, I'd say, you'd see it keep going up. And if you were to go to look at this sheet for the entire year, each year, you would see us beating our budget year after year. That's how we ended up with the surpluses in the treasurer's report, which last year we used it to buy and make more capital purchases, and this year we rolled it over, but it's also how we were able to build up some of our operating reserves.
So do you build in a contingency, like a 10% contingency fund? Because this year, I'm sure that we were up in C&D because of COVID, and that people being home and doing, because you can't find anything in any of the stores right now.
Yeah, the as far as the contingency goes, so much of it is built into volume on the revenue side and on the cost side. So as, you know, our volume goes up, you know, really, I don't want to use the word profit, but, you know, really it's the profit margin is what we look at. So if we're increasing our volume, the profit margin is going to be economies of scale. And vice versa. So if it drops off, yes, we're losing revenue, but we're also going to lose a substantial amount of expense as well. So it would have to probably be even, probably more than 10%, I think, to have an oh crap, let's talk about this type of meeting, you know?
Okay.
Yep.
So what would that contingency be then?
What would I do if we if something were to happen where we dropped off, say, let's just throw, I'll say 50%. Say if something happened and we lost volume in the 50% range, I would, that's where you'd have to, I would say, redo the budget for the rest of the year and modify it and have approvals on that, and you would have to do forecasting again because you're probably going to have to make a change to the tipping fee on something like that.
Wouldn't you have to give
a lot of discussion and planning?
Wouldn't you have to give some consideration to the net service fee at that point?
Never. Never.
No?
Never. No, in all honesty, I'm just joking. The net service fee is a calculation. It is what it is. That's something you would have, because
the
basis of the net service fee, why it was created, is to basically encourage investors. A steady stream of interest payments. That's what that was always about, and that's why the county backs us as well.
Yeah, but if you ran into a situation where our revenue dropped off by 50%, clearly the net service fee would be there to help.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So
that's what I'm talking about.
But I would always, you know, if we can avoid that, you know, reality is we'd like to avoid it. But if we had to, yes, that's exactly why it's there. Yep.
It's a safety net.
That's what I think that's the point I made, right?
You know.
Thank you.
Okay, recycling attorney's report.
As far as Comingo Glass, Mixed News, the City of Kingston Mix, OCC, and even food waste, if you look over the last few months, we've been pretty consistent. After the first quarter, actually, we've been pretty consistent. So I tried to dig in a little more, but nothing was glaring or sticking out to me as to why volume is going where it is, because we've been consistent, and I think that probably does have something to do with people being home. I think the stream hasn't changed, is my point, and I think this reflects it. I really don't have any other comments other than that. We've stayed consistent, and you know, we'll see on the MRF P&L how that affects the revenues and expenses.
Okay. Treasurer's report. Or the market change.
Charlie Whitaker's going to do a market update.
Yeah, market. Where's the market report?
I'm going to make it really sweet. So pretty much everything, with the exception of color, right? Good news on color, right? As of now, October, I don't know how long it's going to last, but we went from 4 cents a pound to 16 cents a pound. So that's a good thing. Heat is still flat, right? Your water bottles, 2 cents, that's lousy. For a long, long time, many, many years, you could always rely on heat, 11 cents a pound, always, between 11 and 15. 2 is an awful number. Steel is about a little bit lower than it should be. They're at 125 Canada. We're lucky because we started going to Sims with our steel cans now. And I think Sims was 150, Tim? Yeah, 150, so, which is about an average number. So we were able to go to a big company like Sims and actually get a better number. And that's where we were taking it. Your hard mix still flat, right? There's nothing great about it. We're losing cardboard revenue on that hard mix. Mm-hmm. We're getting a little bit of money, $10 a ton for the mixed new, so it wouldn't be a complete disaster by getting the other 50% newspaper. Also, a little bit of change on the cardboard end of it. So January to June, we were going to a place called Kruger. They're in Montreal. Kruger decided to change the way they manufacture container boxes plus the bottom line. So what they started to do is they started to add the hard mix. So instead of like 4 bales of cardboard and 1 bale of hard mix, you know, they went down to like 3 bales or 2 bales of cardboard and 2 bales of hard mix. It wasn't a very strong container. In the process of doing that, they were not reliable. So come July, August, mostly August we were affected. They canceled everything because they were going for this hard mix, which was a lot cheaper, as we know, right? And actually can go to a cost for us, as we found out. So we had to bail out of Kruger, so to speak, and we started going to the place in Syracuse. It's called West Rock. Now, West Rock is a second largest paper and packaging company in America. They have $15 billion in annual revenues and over 42,000 employees. They're headquartered in Atlantic, Georgia, and they have their paper mill up in Syracuse where we're sending our cardboard currently now, uh-huh. About 100 to 125. So we're actually really staying in New York State now with our cardboard, which is great for jobs, especially during this time. So a little bit information on companies like Cascade, right? Cascade, they make the McDonald's bags, the brown bags you get from McDonald's and the napkins and stuff. They got a new paper machine. They're in Virginia. And that's important because that's going to have an impact on how we sell cardboard and what we do with our cardboard. These paper machines are very expensive. Mm-hmm. They're about $200 million. And Nine Dragons, right? So we all know about Nine Dragons, China company. They opened a mill in Maine. And the second Chinese company, Lian Man, they just opened up a mill in the Midwest area. I think it's Indiana, I'm not quite sure. So that's what's going on. So if these paper machines are very expensive, right? If they keep coming on board, we're going to be able to, you know, find good markets and maybe we'll get better money for our cardboard because the demand will be a lot higher for the cardboard. Uh-huh. Just to give you a little idea on what these paper machines do, you know, it's a paper mill, right? They're pulpers and they make the liner boards and the middle, you know, and the mediums in the middle of the corrugated cardboard. You see the little jagged mediums. And they make these in big rolls and they send them to shipping companies, container shipping companies, boxes that make boxes. The mills don't make the boxes, they just make the rolls of paper. Just so everybody knows, right? Just like newspaper, right? You can only recycle so much. Mm-hmm. That's why you always need virgin material, whether it's cardboard or whether it's newspaper. I think cardboard is 3 to 4 times. You can only recycle it before the fibers get shorter and shorter. So what happens with these paper machines that are very expensive for $200 million, right? They start off as, you know, with baled cardboard like we sell as a raw material. They go through these 15,000 pound pulpers. They make a fiber slush. Then they go through this formulated table and then they start to make it into this liner board. Once they start making it into the liner board through this formulated table, it goes into these big drums that dry these sheets of paper and they come out into jumbo rolls. And then the rolls go to box companies that make containers that sell to places like Amazon. So we're still selling our cardboard for 60 a ton, 65 is not great. A good number, decent number, normal number, 130, 135. Great numbers, 180, you don't see that often, but it does bounce up there a little bit. If it gets too high, it gets scary. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on. So the good news is
is that some places are investing into these paper machines, which is going to keep the demand for cardboard going.
Yeah, but what pulping process is sort of one extra step, because you now have to do more drying.
They turn it into a sludge.
Yeah, which is a wet pulping.
Yeah, they turn it into a sludge, and then they go through these formulated tables, and then they dry it. They go through these drums to dry it, and then it goes into these jumbo rolls, and then the rolls are sold to container companies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just an extra step in the thing. Yeah.
Most people don't know, you know, when it goes to a mill, we talk about mills, people think that the mills make the container box.
Yeah.
They just make the jumbo rolls.
Yeah. And,
Any questions?
So we're going to get one of these good paper machines?
We'll talk to Laura.
You do know that Jordan Trading in Kingston, who was doing...
Been down that road before.
They're shutting down, you know.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know, she laid off everybody.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's been a tough time for a lot of places. 80,000 restaurants in New York State ain't opening again. It's been tough for everybody. This has been a trying time.
I didn't know if you heard that or not.
I didn't, but I met with her a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Betsy.
Wasn't real impressed, but yes.
Okay. Okay, Treasurer's Report.
All right. So for the month of August, we did 9,063 tons of MSW, 3,705 tons of C&D, and 307 tons of sludge. There were no line items of note on the revenue side, pretty consistent. Total revenues for the month, $1,526,065. Down in the expense lines, they're pretty consistent as well, so there's no line items of note there. Total operating expenses for the month, $1,183,563, which gave us a net operating revenue of $342,502. But capital outlay for the month was $451,408, which I broke down for you. Mm-hmm. We compost expansion, $67,656. Our scale project, $210,488.50. A new tractor is in there for $145,317, and we had a couple of minor ones in addition to finish our border fence at $935. We had our new blacktop project, which we did shared services with the town of Ulster, which probably saved us somewhere in the area of $70,000 to $80,000 by doing that shared service. The blacktop was just for the material. And the start of the recycling end building, we had some electricity work done ahead of time. That was about $186. Mm-hmm. So our fund balance for the month was a deficit of $108,906. And if you exclude the operating reserve transfer in that we had, our year-to-date is a deficit of $2,185,885. With that transfer in, it's a deficit of $1,862,410. So a lot of investment in this place, but it's also necessary investment, especially the scales and the compost expansion. The new laws coming into place.
Tim, explain to me what the operating reserve transfers. You got a number in there of $323,475. What is that?
That was a resolution that we actually did to cover just in case the grant money didn't come in on those big pieces of equipment that we purchased, the trommel screen and the stacker. So if we get that money, if it comes in from the county and from the state, we'll just reimburse our operating reserve.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In the blacktop, we saved about $40,000 from what the contractor wanted. We did it all in-house in conjunction with shared services from the town of Ulster Highway Department. So we had another $44,000.
I think it was higher than that.
It was higher than that because we ended up going bigger than what our original quote was. So it would have been equated to almost $80,000 in savings.
Okay, $80,000 in savings.
Yeah.
Wow.
The cost on here is just for the material.
Good job.
And I know you're busy, but if you do get a chance, and I would like to see it, is a rundown of where our fund, our debt, our bonded debt indebtedness is, and what the schedule looks like. I know from time to time, I think you gave it to us twice over the last...
It's also in our financial paper as well. There's a footnote. I think it might be note 7, actually. That breakdown is in there.
Okay.
We always, you do always have it.
But by 2025, it's going to be all paid off. We'll be out of debt.
Okay.
Right, Executive Director?
That's right.
Yeah. Or much deeper in debt because Seneca Meadows is going to be closing down.
Well, we got to do, yeah, that's another story. That's another story. Oh, I'll entertain a motion to accept the Treasurer's Report.
So moved.
Okay.
Motion made by Charlie, seconded by Joanne. Any discussion? Call for a roll call vote.
Fred Budnola.
Aye.
Catherine Bond.
Aye.
Charles Land.
Yes.
Mr. Benton.
Look.
She had to leave. She had to.
Joanne Myers.
Yeah.
4-0 for one day.
Okay. Does any board member have anything to be brought before the board?
No.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Wait.
You got somebody.
He's got to do the MRF.
Oh, the MRF, I'm sorry.
Oh, the MRF's fine.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, do the MRF. Do the MRF.
Yep. August, we had no tipping fees. Total sale of recyclables was $40,992. And you see attached to this is the graph, and we added a couple. Because I wanted to actually try and tie in the product that we sold to the actual sale of recyclables that you see in here.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Transportation disposal cost totaled $3,031, which gave us a net revenue of $37,161. If we flip to the back page, our personnel expenses for the month, $35,531. Operating expenses, $8,609, giving us total personnel and operating expenses of $44,140. And a net loss of the month of only $6,979. Our year-to-date net loss is $214,338. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
What can we do about plastic?
Don't use them?
I don't know. We've got to come up with something. You ought to be coming up with something. I mean, this is crazy. All this damn plastic. Everything comes in plastic at the store.
They got to get New York State to entice some company. The Midwest and the South are doing okay, but we don't have any companies that will come to New York for the processing of the plastic because it's so difficult to do business in New York.
You know, it all comes down to us, Kathy. You know, we always talk about it, right? You know, when we talk about changing things, right? When we go back and look at the way we do things, some things are. You know, they were good at the time, and they still are good. It comes down to responsibility. So as long as you have a product, right, that is going into a plastic container because the container is cheap, and we're always watching our pennies, right, because it's tough, you know, and we buy that product, you know, with no regard to the type of container, you're always going to have those plastic containers out there. And it's just about being responsible.
Yeah, so the woman who was here from the Ulster Garden Club, that was one of her questions, was how do we start to get the producers to stop using, right? And I said, it's our responsibility, and it's the responsibility for all consumers to go back at the producers, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, go back at the, you know, HelloFreshes or whomever's, you know, delivering stuff to you.
Yeah, and not to mention, it's not healthy for you. You know, I know we've come a long way since the 50s. I mean, they started making plastic in the early 40s. We've come a long ways, but it's still not good for you, right? The fours and fives that are supposedly is safer than most. It's still not good for you.
Yeah.
You know, glass is the best. We hated it, right? It does a lot of damage to things like MRFs and stuff. I was one of those guys that was always screaming how much I hated glass. I always say, right, sometimes you got to change the way you look at things. I have a different feeling on that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we, right, ought to revisit that. So let's go back to the mayonnaise jars. Let's go back to the ketchup jars, okay. Right? So there is a demand for reusing glass. So we don't have to worry about it going into potholes and blacktop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all really about us and being responsible. And mm-hmm. as long as we allow Pepsi Cola and these other places to say, hey, you know what? We broke 18 gazillion bottles. And, you know, we want to have plastic now because we save money from everything that's being broke. As long as they control us, there's always going to be more plastic than there should be. That's really what it comes down to. I always say, right, if you want to fix the problem, you got to rehab capitalism.
Yeah, but you won't get people to use glass because if you look at your products, you go to your shopping centers, all your fruits and that are coming from Peru and South America, and they're all coming out already weighed, or all in the plastic containers. It's so, they're making so much money doing it that way. There's no waste, very little waste, and then they, you know, it's all money.
That's why everything's got to be looked at. That's where your bugs, your beetles, your invasive plants, that's where your diseases are coming from. They're coming on those boats too. Everything's got to be looked at.
Yeah.
And we don't do enough at home.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move. And to change capitalism.
We'll have a roll call about that. Everyone wants to change capitalism.
Okay. Joanne made the motion. Charlie seconded it. All in favor of adjourning, signify by saying, or
I'm
no. Got to do a roll call.
Yeah.
Fred
Mondola. Aye.
Lisa Mitten is not here. Charlie Landy.
Yes.
Catherine Weinkoffler.
Aye.
Joanne Myers.
Aye.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned.
He changed the order.
Yes, he does it to keep us on our toes.
Yeah, I don't, you know. Okay. I get that from rote memory, looking at you.
Yeah, whatever your name is. Yeah.